Only the tree can say, clop, clop, clop. His footsteps seem to ask time itself to wait for him. Take my hand, he'd say. The air's just right for a walk. Clop, clop, clop. How well I remember that sound. How often I've stopped, whatever I'm doing, just to recall those slow, measured, certain steps. Clop, clop, clop. Where are we going, Grandfather? I'd ask excitedly, slipping my small hand into his. Going, he'd say with a twinkle in his voice. Anywhere and everywhere, and nowhere in particular. Let's you and I just walk until we decide to stop, and then we'll be there. And that's how it always began. Hand in hand, my two steps to his one, we'd sometimes walk down the road to where it ended in the apple orchard. Slop, slop, slop. Our feet would sink into the moisture beneath the trees. The warm, humid air would be saturated with the ripe, tangy odor of fallen fruit. On and on we would walk, while the wind played high, haunting melodies in the leaves above our heads. Ah, these trees, he mused, on an especially memorable walk. They've been here for as long as I can remember. Splush, the sound of fruit under his foot, punctuated his reverie. Splush, once again, sang the echo off the high stone wall at the end of the orchard. And these same trees, he continued, will probably be here when you're as old as I am. Is that a very long time? I asked, stooping to feel along the ground for the perfect apple. When you're 9, trees, apples, and especially grandfathers seem likely to last forever. Swish, and the perfect apple sailed aloft into the tree above. Pop, smack, crash, schlump, the missile streaked toward the earth, bringing other apples with it as it fell. Yes, Grandfather said, in a strange, faraway voice I'd never heard before. That's a very long time. His hand tightened slightly around mine. When I was just about your age, he continued, sounding suddenly less somber, I used to come to this orchard almost every day. I had a secret hiding place, high in the branches of one of these very trees. Would you show me? I asked. Please? The breeze had suddenly ceased its playing, and in the absence of our footsteps, the silent trees seemed to be listening to our every word. I was suddenly ashamed. It was, after all, his secret. Maybe he wanted to keep it to himself. Without speaking, he led me to a tree whose trunk was slightly smaller than the ones I had already felt. The first limb was just within my reach. Placing my hands around it, I hung for an instant, my feet inches above the ground, and then I swung upward toward the sound of the wind which had begun to sing once again. The sudden movement must have frightened the fruit which hung all about me. Bump, bump, bump. Apples pushed and shoved each other to get a better view. As I steadied myself on the first limb, the echo of my movements reflected back to me from the hard, irregular surfaces of the branches close to my face. I can see, I called, placing my hands around the next limb and working my feet against the rough bark of the trunk. The echoes are my eyes. Grandfather's reply was drowned out by the excited voices of the apples announcing my approach. Bump, splush, splat! A large one struck the limb just above my fingertips. It danced down my arm and continued its journey toward the ground. A little to the right, my grandfather called. His voice came floating up to me from further away than I had expected. I locked my fingers tightly around a somewhat smaller limb and pulled hard to the right. Up and out I swung, my body almost perpendicular to the tree. Swish! Sang the leaves as they brushed against my flying feet. Swash! Answered the sound of my jeans as they scraped against the bark. The entire tree seemed to shudder as an almost magnetic force robbed my body of its flight at the very last minute and pulled me down hard against the trunk. There was no quieting the apples now. I was already among them, and they jostled each other noisily in their haste to get the first glimpse of their intruder. Bump, bump, bump! They encircled me with their sound. Slap, slap, slap! They beat against the very leaves that held them captive, and suddenly, without warning, they were still. "Grandfather," I called excitedly, "I think I've found it." Only a distant bird unlocked the stillness with its high, pure sound. From somewhere far below, a bee buzzed lazily in search of nectar, and then it too was still. "Grandfather," I called again, but only the echo of my own voice came back to me, and somehow it too seemed strangely subdued. Puzzled by my grandfather's silence, I again turned my attention to the tree. Wrapping my arms around the trunk, I leaned my head against a slight depression in the bark. It was well worn and unusually smooth. Surprised, I lifted my head and placed my hand in the space. My fingers moved gently over the soft, moist wood. How often, I wondered, had my grandfather sat in this very same place and touched the very same spot? Or was it the wind and the rain that had hollowed and smoothed this special place? At length, I climbed down from the tree with its secret place and went in search of grandfather. I called and called, but there was no answer. After a time, I wound my way back up the path to the little house he shared with my grandmother. He was sitting in his rocking chair on the porch, almost as if he had never left it that morning. "Grandfather," I asked, "where did you go?" "Oh," he said, puffing on his pipe, "I knew you could find your way home, and you seemed to be so comfortable in the tree, I thought you might stay there all day." Weeks passed, and I had just about forgotten our walk in the orchard. One day, late in fall, when all the leaves had dropped from the tree and there were no more apples, my mother told me that my grandfather had gone away. But where and why, I wanted to know. It was then, they told me, that he had died. I didn't really know what that meant. I kept looking for him, hoping that it was like our games of hide-and-seek we used to play. But I never found him. I thought, just maybe, he would be at his tree, waiting for me. But it was too cold to go out, so I forced myself to wait until spring. On a clear, crisp April morning, when it was warm enough to go outdoors again, I all but ran down the path to the orchard. This time, there was no large hand holding mine. This time, there were no apples to noisily announce my arrival. But I would soon see grandfather. It was so very quiet in the orchard. When I reached the tree, I placed my hand on its trunk, but somehow I knew I wouldn't be climbing today. Grandfather was nowhere to be found. There was something in the air, something in the stillness of the creatures that lived around the tree that said, "He is not here. He is not here." It was very lonely walking home. I missed the apples, but most of all, I missed grandfather. Why would he go away? I made that trip many times that summer, but I never did climb the tree. It was always so lonely when I walked home, my ears straining for the sound of the apples calling me back, my hand wanting to be held, finding itself so cold even in my jacket pocket. When fall came, and the leaves began to have a different sound as they danced on the breeze, I found myself absently walking down the path to the orchard. This time, the apples were there. They made the same sounds beneath my feet as they had done before, when grandfather was with me. But I paid them no mind. The wind was blowing gently when I reached the tree. There was something in its sound that sounded far away and sad. I don't think I realized that I was climbing until I was quite near the spot I had found on that magic day almost a year ago. Now I began to notice the apples. Bump, bump, they clamored, as if to say, "Where have you been?" I pulled myself up among them, into my grandfather's secret place. The apples quieted slightly, as if they knew I was there, as if they had been waiting. But for what? Once again, I rubbed my fingers over the smooth bark. I leaned my head against the tree. I don't know when the tears came. Perhaps the apples knew, because at length they too became very still, as if listening for something. As the tears came and went and came again, I ran my hand down the trunk of the tree as far as I could reach. The limb that supported me seemed quite sturdy. Like the place where I rested my head, the trunk, too, had an amazingly smooth texture. It seemed to have been placed there especially for me. As I sat, letting the fingers of my eyes wander over the well-kept secrets of my grandfather's childhood, the sound of the rustling leaves offered their own quiet recollections of an earlier time, a time when we were together. "Grandfather?" I called. But I knew he wouldn't be there. This was Grandfather's way of doing it. This tree, with its special secret place, was now all mine. I had found it, all by myself, just as he must have done so many years before. Or had his grandfather led him to this very same spot, only to slip away from the tree and from life, as quietly as the passing breeze? Only the tree can say.